Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Yahuwah, hallelujah. This is the day or the evening, depending on where you are in the world, that Yahuwah has made. We will rejoice. We have reason to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Though all the H-E-L-L is going on, it doesn't matter because it was all prophesied. And if you're looking at it through spiritual lenses, if you're looking at this through the prophetic clock, Yahuwah's prophetic clock, you would know that our redemption is drawing near. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Yahuwah's people should rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Welcome once again to to the elders' show, the Hebrew Israelite elders' show. And we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation, Elder Eliah, and we have with us Ima Ahaya. Hallelujah. Welcome again, Ima.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Most High. So what are we here for tonight? We have been excited about the last few weeks, about this message that Yahuwah has placed on our hearts. And we were talking about preparations for the wilderness. Hallelujah. So now it's turned into a three-part series. We had parts one and parts two the last 2 weeks. And if Yah is willing, this will be the final episode of this series. And we know you've been blessed, those who have followed us so far. Part one was pretty much all fundamental. You can't move forward without your fundamental base. What's the fundamental base in this here episode? It is repentance. Repentance. That's just like saying, let's get ready to go on this long drive and you don't have any gas in your car. You have to have some fuel. It's better to have a full tank, but you have to have some fuel, or you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're not going forward in the Most High in your life. You don't believe me? Just ask some of the patriarchs of old about what happened. Even in the time, the midst of these miracles and signs and wonders that they witnessed firsthand, they've witnessed the plagues of Egypt. They've witnessed Elijah making time, it was Yahuwah, through him, making time stand still, holding up the rain for years. And the rain wouldn't start back until Yahuwah prompted him to pray. All of these great signs, the locusts, frogs, the water turning to blood, and one of the worst of all, the death angel coming through the land of Egypt and slaying all the firstborn. They've seen all of these mighty signs and wonders by the Most High. Hallelujah. But what did it profit them? How could they make it in? After all, what was the purpose to make it into the promised land? What would all of that have profited them if they did not repent? You see, all of them came out of Egypt, but they all didn't make it into the promised land. Just ask Korah and his gang. Yeah, we mentioned him a lot last week. Poor Korah and his boys. Probably with some women and young folks with him too. But what would you classify as the Korahs of today? So we're going to take a look at that. But before we do, I'm not going to make the mistake I made last week. I got a little zealous and forgot to read our opening, our foundational scripture for the lesson. I did read it, but I read it towards the end of the lesson. Hallelujah. And it's meant to be read towards the beginning of the lesson. So we're going to go ahead and get that out of the way so we won't repeat that mistake. Today's lesson, today's message is entitled Preparation for the Wilderness, just like the other parts, one and two. Subtitle to this one is Only a Remnant Will Make It In. Okay? So we're talking about the preparation for the wilderness. And listen to the subtitle. Only a remnant will make it in. This can help somebody tonight because some of you are on the fence between being a rebel. I done gave myself away. I say, what do we call those people in Korah's time? Some of you are on the fence between being a rebel and one of those in the remnant, or you should say Yah's elect. Okay? So if Korah and them had repented and changed their hearts and obeyed, they could have went on the other side. They could have been on the side of Yahuwah's elect, his remnant. But instead, rebelliousness and disobedience, and their fate was sealed. We knew that one of the worst punishments that they received was the ground opened up and swallowed them and closed back over them. And like that wasn't enough. You still had some hard-headed Israelites after that, complaining and murmuring about Ula took us out here, took us away from our good slave quarters in Egypt, where at least we had chicken and, I mean, hog maws and chitlins and fried greasy chicken and everything. Of course, they were saying we had leeks and onions and garlic. Even the slaves ate healthier back then than more modern slaves. But nevertheless, they were complaining the same way. What did Yahuwah did? Fiery serpent, scorpion. See, they were never satisfied. And so, to make a long story short, out of that multitude, believe it was over 1.5 million, out of that multitude, only two made it in. Only two from that generation made it in. And that was Caleb and Joshua. Hallelujah. So we want this to bless you tonight, because if you're tottering on the fence between being a rebel and Yahuwah's remnant, hopefully this nudges you on the side of being a remnant. I would rather if my life was cut off in this flesh body, and I make it in as part of the remnant, than to live over 100 years and be numbered with the rebels. See, because where's your eternal fate going to be? Is it going to be with Yahuwah and his kingdom, or is it going to be with HaShaitan and in the lake of fire? So let's read our foundational scripture for tonight. It's found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20 and verse 38. Hallelujah. And I'm reading out of the KJV. I read other versions sometimes. When you come out of the church like me, sometimes you just, some of those vestiges of, you know, Christianity and everything, it's hard to rub off. And besides, I really do like the King James. Is it a perfect addition? Is it a perfect scripture? Well, they have their errors. One of them is they put the word J-E-W in there. And I don't know how that word got in there, because, first of all, we know J, the letter J, was not even around 600 years ago. And the other reason, the word Jew, J-E-W, is just a little more than 200 years old. You can look this up. The word Jew came into use at and around 1775. But somehow, not only is it in the so-called New Testament, it's intertwined all throughout the Old Testament. So it's just something to think about. Let's go ahead and read our foundational scripture, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 38. It reads as follows. I will purge out. That means he's going to get rid of. He's going to weed them out. I will purge out from among you the rebels, the hard-headed ones, the disobedient ones, the ones who are full of iniquity, the ones who says the laws are done away with. We don't have no standard. You know, JC paid it all. We could do our thing. We're sealed. We're sealed. I went down the aisle. I grabbed the preacher by the hand, and I said the sinner's prayer. I'm sealed. Yes, I got a girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever. yes, we do whatever we want to do with each other anytime we want. Yes, I could, you know, take my recreational chemical substances whenever I want. Matter of fact, I could do anything I want. The laws are done away with. I don't know who told them that. Well, yeah, I do know. The devil told them that. But I don't know where in Scripture that they find this. Now, they post, a lot of them go to church every Sunday. But somehow they come away with thinking the laws are done away with. What's that pastor, Mr. Dollar, out there in the Atlanta area? I guess a lot of these other big televangelists. The laws are done away with. I think this guy say even the Big Ten he called. He said they're done away. They're done forking it. It's done. But you know what? I'm going to read that scripture. I mean, I'm going to finish reading it. So I just have to throw this in, and this is it. All of these guys who lead the flock around on Sunday mornings, they're telling them that the law is done away with. J.C. paid it off. Hallelujah. And if all the laws are done away with, why don't they just tell the truth? In their mind, all of them are done away with except one. And it's found in the Levitical priesthood. That law should be done away with. But see, that's part of ceremonial. But the one that should be done away with, they don't toss that one aside. Just, oh, no. That's an eternal law. That's an eternal principle. And you know what I'm talking about, the tithe. You try to tell Mr. Dollar or any one of these fat cats that law is done away with. Man, you're gonna see the horns come out in these guys. They don't play that. But all the other laws, you know, don't commit adultery. Keep the Sabbath day. I guess it's all right to sleep around with whoever you want. I guess it's all right to, you know, just ignore the Sabbath day. You know, honor your mother and your father. Treat your parents any way you want. Curse them out. Slap them around. You know, all the other false witness. Basically, you know, lie. You can lie when it's convenient to you. Tell the truth when you feel like it. You just do anything you want. What did that old warlock say? Aleister Crowley, he said their law, the law of the wicked is do as thou wilt. You know that with the rapper Jay-Z wears that hat or shirt, do as thou wilt. That's what their Bible. They might as well bring that Bible into the church house, because that's the law they're following. That's the scripture they're following. Do as thou wilt. Nowhere in your scriptures. So let me go ahead and finish reading this. It says, reading from Ezekiel 20:38. It says, I will purge out, I'm going to get rid of, from among you, the rebels, the disobedient ones, the lawless ones, and them that transgress against me. I'm so glad that scripture used that word transgress, because I could hear somebody in their homes or in their cars, and he didn't say the lawless ones. Well, what do you think transgress against what? The law. 1 John 3:4, or is it 4 and 3? It says sin is the transgression. What's the root word of transgression? Transgress. Go against. Defile. Sin is the defilement or the going against of the law. That's what sin is all about. So he's basically saying the lawless one, them who are lawless against me, those who transgress against me. Transgress what? My law. He says, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. Now, let's just pause there. he's going to bring them forth. Now, some of them don't even want to go forth. Some of them love Babylon. And if I was a betting man, I would bet, as they say, my whole paycheck. I could stack up a few paychecks. I would bet, I would put it all on the line that you're going to have some so-called Negroes, Israelites, who do not want to leave this land. Oh, they're comfortable in Babylon. I'm not just talking about the so-called rich ones, basketball, baseball players. You know, I'm talking actors and all. I'm talking about your Joe Blow, who probably ain't making much money, but, you know, but he likes working, getting his hands dirty for Mr. Charlie, and he likes that little paycheck he gets on Friday because he, instead of going straight home, he stopped by the bar. See, you know, look around, see if there's anything there, anybody there he likes. Look at eye candy. Get a little drunk, legally too drunk to drive home, and you know he's going to drive home anyway. He liked that little routine, you know. Maybe stop at the girlfriend's house on the way home to his wife. He's got a little routine. You know how you get in a routine. Oh, and the women do the same thing. Her and her boss gets off early, you know. Husband just at home cooking dinner for her, waiting for her. And she done stopped over with her boss and having some drinks and don't know what else. People like that routine of the flesh. You're going to have some Negroes that do not want to leave this place. Even when it's high time to leave, even when Yah makes it clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's time to go. And trust me, I believe that time is coming soon. What date? I don't know what date. I'm just looking at the season. I'm looking at the season. You know, when you see it, sometimes late February, depending on what part of the country in, it could be early March, middle March or whatever, you start seeing the, you know, all those trees were bare at first, no leaves. And then you start seeing those little pink blossoms come up, or those little white blossoms, whatever different type of trees you got. Now, you don't even have to know the date. You know, let's just say you were not blind, because you got to see, but let's just say you were in solitary confinement, and all you could do is see through that one window in your prison. And they don't even tell you the date. You done lost track of that long time ago. But you look out, you see those trees, and you see the blossoms coming. At first, you know, you were shivering cold the last few months. But now you see those blossoms coming, those dead branches. Now they're all pink. Some of them are white. You don't know the date at all, but you know one thing. Seasons have changed. You know it's spring. You see, that's how Yahusha said that we should be able to tell the signs of the times, be able to interpret the signs of the times, he says in Matthew. So, yeah, no man knows the day coming of the Son of Man. But he says we can discern the season. And there is a season with this second Exodus, us going as a people into the wilderness. See, there was an order in Genesis 15 when he gave Abram that dream, and he says, I'm paraphrasing. He said, your descendants are going to be a stranger in a strange land, and they're going to serve a land that their fathers didn't know, you know, their foreparents. And they're going to serve their enemies for 400 years, you know. Their life is going to be a mess for 400 years. Now, listen, there's an order. Okay, there's the bondage, 400 years. And he say afterwards, well, after what? After the 400 years is up, he didn't say lickety split, but we're going to go. No, listen to the order. Next step. After the time is up, he say, I will judge. He's going to judge that nation. He's going to judge these Gentile nations that his people were in captivity to. He's going to judge those nations. I mean, you're saying, wow, all, listen, United States. Now, if anybody didn't hear about that hurricane, I mean, that tornado that broke a record, that went through like five or six states, and had a track of like over 200 miles just wreaking havoc, leveling town. I mean, my wife and I looked at some of the news highlights, and that was about all the news I could look at, just seeing things like that of nature or something like that. All this propaganda, and I can't take it. Sorry. I cannot sit up there and people say COVID, COVID, COVID every day, year. I mean, all day long, all night long, and facts, facts, facts all night long. You know, no, can't do it no more. But something like that, I believe we mainly looked at the Weather Channel. At least they don't, they might say, talk about that crazy pandemic, but they were pretty much on point. And this is, as far as they know, as long as they've been keeping meteorology records, they said this could possibly be the longest track that one single tornado that they've been able to track, one single tornado. Now, it was multiple tornadoes that touched down, but this one was just going berserk. I mean, it just wreaked havoc. And, it was like the Most High said, okay, they still don't want to repent. I'm going to turn up the volume. I mean, and we were looking at some of the footage, the aerial footage, and some of those towns, you know how you can see those square blocks in these cities. Some of those square blocks look like a bomb dropped on it. All you can see is shredded lumber, shredded wood. I mean, I'm talking about wood from trees. It's mainly wood from house frames, just 2x4s. Just shredded to pieces like toothpicks. I mean, it looked like the wood framing that turned into sawdust. I mean, it was just leveled. It looked like a bomb. I must have said that about three times Saturday night. Looked like people had dropped bombs on these neighborhoods, on these towns. And even some of the so-called indestructible people, well, nothing's indestructible, but some of their more well-built structures, the brick buildings, the old courthouses and things like that, that didn't even stand up without, you know, sustaining terrible damage. Courthouses in Mayfield, Kentucky. I don't think I ever heard of that town until now it's stuck in my head. I mean, that town was level. And I heard that town had I heard that was a really racist town. Well, I'll just say, what else is new? All these, many towns in the United States. This town, I guess it was famous for some of the towns people had bragged about how they, back in the good old days, had ran some Negroes out of town, you know, away from their property or something. Well, it looked like Mother Nature, Yah's mother nature, because that the Yah control looked like somebody else got ran out of town over the weekend. And I'm not gloating in people's, you know, tragedy. No, not at all. And I'm sure I could probably speak for Ema too. But nevertheless, the judgment is not up to us. That's up to Yah. And if he has a people that he's going to judge, he certainly judged us. Matter of fact, he said judgment will begin with the house of Israel. You know, so if our judgment was so great, just think what the other nations, the heathens, what their judgment is going to be. After all, they've been pretty much in control for the last couple thousand years. And now their time is pretty much the sand glass has pretty much ran out of sand. It's called the end of the Gentile age. Yes. Read Luke 21:24. It says, we would fall by the edge of the sword. We've done that. And we'd be taken captivity into all nations, all regions of the world. We've been there, done that. And he says, Yerushalom, our homeland, the area of our homeland, native homeland, will be trampled, overrun with Gentiles until the end of the Gentile nation. Who's in that area now, the Jerusalem area? Gentiles. Yes, they're Gentiles. Even the ones who says, that's anti-Semitic, well, that's weird. They're Gentiles. And it's overrun with them, trotting down that area. Luke 21:24. So hallelujah. You have a choice tonight. I'm hoping even if one soul changes from one side to the other, changes from the side of the rebel to the side of Yah's elect, hallelujah, Yah would have done great things through this message tonight. Now, I'll finish this scripture. So he says he's going to purge out the rebels and them that transgress, them that feel there's no law, transgress against them. He says, and I will bring them forth out of the country or out of the countries where they sojourn. And they, okay, so you think he's going to bring you all the way in to the promised land? No, he's just going to bring you out of the countries of your captivity. And some of you are going to rebel against that. And he might have to deal with you early, just like he dealt with Korah and them early. Okay, but for the ones who have a little sense, actually make the trip, look what he says. And he says he's going to bring them out of the place of captivity where they sojourn, and listen here, and they shall not, man, I wish that was capital, the N-O-T, because that's exactly the emphasis it should have. And so don't even mislead yourself. If you think, if you know you're a rebel, you know, you don't believe there's any standard anymore, that there's no laws, you can live a lawless life and make it into Yahuwah's kingdom, don't even kid yourself. He says, they shall not enter into the land of Israel. But you're not going to enter into the land. Not going to be any rebels, any lawbreakers, any workers of iniquity. What did Yahusha say? Say, depart from me. You know, I did this for you. I did this for you, Master. I did this in your name. Depart from me. You that work iniquity. You that work lawlessness. You that live in sin, practice sin. Depart from me. He said, I don't even know you. He's saying pretty much the same thing here. They shall not enter into the land. I'm sorry, but I know I promised to stop one more time. Last one. I'm going to turn it over to Iman. I promise. He said they shall not make it into the land. Stop and think. Those people who are over there in the so-called land now, do you know that's the pretty much the gay capital of the world? Do you know over 80% of those people there are proud, card-carrying atheists, acknowledged atheists? Do you know that the place of pedophilia and pornography? Yahuwah's word says they're not the rebels. Those who transgress against him, against his laws, against his righteous standards, they will not make it into the land. Well, who's all those people in the land? He says his people. Those are somebody's people over there. But they're not his people. A guy named Rosenthal, who was the He was an aide to Senator Jacob Javits of New York. This is way back in the 60s or 70s. Man, he told it all. They got rid of him. This guy, he bragged. He says, you know us ish people. He says, they don't like to say it out loud, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing what he said. They don't like to, you know, say it out in public. He says, Lucifer, Satan is our God, and we are his people. So the people over there now, they're somebody's people. They're not the Most High's people. Most High's people, when he leads them into the land, you're not going to see the rebels make it in. It's just, the word is so clear. I don't know what idiot could just read it and still turn their head in ignorance and say, yeah, but, you know, he's going to fix them up later. He's going to sanctify. It said they won't even make the trip. It said they won't even cross the line into the land. The rebels. Stop trying to make excuses. Now, due to racism and hardness of the heart, some people, you can slap upside the head with truth, like we're doing now, and they're not going to acknowledge. They might even believe what we're saying, but they're not going to acknowledge. What's the little fat porky guy in Houston or someplace over there? Hagee. You think somebody like him going to, or any of them, even the black ones? Man, there's too much money on the line. Come on now. They're not going to acknowledge the truth. Read up. I'm not going to read this, but on your own time, read Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 5. There's another good, clear, crystal clear example of how the Yahuwah people is going to come back into the land, how he's going to bring them back to the land. They got other scriptures like we're reading now in Ezekiel. Clear scriptures, how they're going to come back to the land. People over there now don't fit any of them. I'm tired of this foolishness. I don't even deal with it no more because it's too much evil, too much hatred, and in the case of our people, too much ignorance. Like I say, too much money on the line. Our people will sell their souls out for money, you know. But we're talking about preparation for the wilderness. Only a remnant will make it. Perfect subtitle. Only a remnant will make it. Yahusha saying, they shall not enter into the land of Israel, those rebels, and ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. They sure are going to know. Yahuwah, my prayer is that we all make it. Those who love you, we all make it into the land. Hallelujah. First, that we make the trip to the wilderness. Say we're going to pass under the rod of correction. I pray that we come out with flying colors under the rod. I ain't going to make it under the rod. And I pray that whatever course you take us from there to bring us into the land, I pray that we make it here. He said, this generation that see these things are not going to pass away until all these things come to pass. Even though some of us are over 50, hey, we're still the generation that's seeing these signs. Now, is every single person going to make it? I'm not saying that. But those of us who, you know, got our somewhat health and, you know, if it's Yahuwah's will, if it's his will, I pray that we're part of that generation. Hallelujah. I thank the Most High that as of today, I got my health. My wife, Isha, has her health. And, you know, a lot of us are, you know, at least we feel physically that we're ready to make the trip. But that's all Yahuwah is doing. Hallelujah. The bottom line is to make it into the kingdom. So if some of us have to go as mortars or whatever, make it in. Make it in. That's the key. Make it in. A title, subtitle today, only a remnant will make it in. Okay, so I'm going to do later on a comparison. Just letting you know now. We're going to do a comparison between Gideon's army. You can find Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 7. We're just going to read a few. I'm going to read really fast. Don't worry. I mean, it's a few verses, but I'm going to get through it really fast. And just going to do a comparative analysis between Gideon's, folks back in Gideon's time, who were kind of in similar situations, and the folks in our time. Because there was many when this so-called plandemic started. Oh, man, especially among our people. I'm not taking that mess. I mean, some of them act like they've read up on it, too, and I'm not taking it. Man. By the end of the day or by the end of the year, they were just falling off like leaves. They're just back and down. After work, my doctor told me to take it. My pastor told me to take it up. You know, I just got scared out of my wits. Bible says, you know, the last day men's hearts going to fail them because of fear. We're going to see, did Gideon have that problem with people having fearful hearts too back then? So that'll be a little later, y'all willing. Right now I'm going to turn this over to Ema. She always blesses us. Thanks for being patient, Ema. Come on up. Hallelujah.
I'm listening too. Don't think I'm not. Because Yah is blessing us to be in here together again this evening, hallelujah. And I want to start off my discussion with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Again, that's Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Most High will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all set apart conversation and the Yahness, okay, the Yahness, the Most High portion, okay? So many people say, well, what's going to happen at the end? Well, that's what's going to happen. He said in other scriptures that it won't be water, but fire next time. So 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 and 11 verse just confirmed that. It's going to be hot. It's going to be burning up everything. And this is why he told us if it wasn't for him coming back for his people, even his chosen ones would be destroyed, you see.
Hallelujah.
So we got to be able to, what, stand in the wilderness. We got to be able to know that all around us might be burning and melting down, but Yah is going to put us in a place, in a position, in the wilderness where he is going to protect us from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, many of us are just not ready. We're not ready for the wilderness mode. We weren't, most of us was thinking about it back when we came out of Egypt. And a lot of us said, oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. Okay, but we'll go to that next. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And it tells us, then was the Messiah led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Tempted now. Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward very hungry, you see. And when the tempter came to him, well, who is the tempter? You see, we have to look and see and know and understand without it being said who that tempter is. But some of y'all have not been reading your scriptures enough to automatically know that that's Satan. So as when the tempter slash Satan came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Yahuwah, command that these stones be made bread. Well, you see, a lot of us got to understand that Yahusha knew as the son of the Most High Yahuwah, he knew what his father would do if he just asked him. So nobody has to tell him to ask, because he knows that the father knew that if he was pretty hungry, the father would provide for him. He really doesn't have to ask. But he does not need Satan to come and tell him what to do. He does not need Satan to come and ask him to what? Prove himself. He doesn't have to do that. Since we know, if you know that you are one of the chosen ones and you know that you are a child of the Most High, he takes care of his young ones. We're still young in the spirit. He will take care of us. He will feed us, even though, okay, we're saying prepare, prepare, get some food in the house, get a few months of food in the house, because you, and start growing some food, because you don't know, once that food in the house runs out, you still may have to have something to eat that you're growing. Well, you know why that is? We know not the day nor the hour that Yahushua is going to come back for us. Father's going to send him. Yahuwah said he sends him. And we are to, we need to respect Yahushua the same way that we would respect the Most High Yahuwah, okay? So that's what we got to keep in mind. And that tempter can't tempt us to do nothing either, just like Yahushua. He looked at him like, hey, you know what? You need to move on. I'm sure he gave him that look like, oh, really? You trying that? So we have to not be told by Satan what to do, but we need to listen to Yahushua, and he will tell us what to do. He will come back, and he will take us home. Now, that's back to what? The wilderness. That's what that's going to be back to. It's not going to be back to a big city. Oh, no. Got to get out those big cities. So in Exodus chapter 16, verse 32, Moses said, this is the thing which the Most High commands. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations. The food is what he's talking about that y'all provided for us, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. When I read that, I thought, if there is some that was put up, we don't know where it is. We have not seen it. We have not thought about it. We just know we're in this time zone. But he says he's got some kept for the generations, and we're one of those generations, are we not?
Hallelujah.
So that we can see that bread. He wants us to see that bread, okay, that he fed us with in the wilderness, so we will know that it's real. So it could be that that bread that was saved will be in the wilderness, and he'll start plucking off of that and giving it to us. you see. So we can see it and know it is true and know for ourselves. While we eating on it, we can say, oh, wow, this is pretty good. But, you know, you always have those complainers. They're not going to be satisfied. They're going to be like the people of old complaining. But we'll get to that another time. Let's go to Exodus chapter 18, verse 5. That's Exodus chapter 18, verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, see, he was his father by law now. Because he connect, that's how we connect into the family. You know what I see? Moses' father-in-law. See, there's a law that makes Jethro his father, like a father to him,
mm-hmm.
his father-in-law. Mother-in-law is like a mother to you. I remember I had to tell my sister-in-law one day, I said, you know what? You're my sister-in-law. You're my sister by the law. And so
right.
there are things there, so much you cannot do. But I know that you're married to my brother, whether you respect that or not, even though you're married
mm-hmm.
to me, not me. So I had to tell her a couple of things, and by the time I explained that to her nicely, she had to pull it together. And when she felt that power from Yah telling her that she is my sister, for real, it's real, by law,
mm-hmm.
then she had to reconcile herself and say, oh, man, not that I was going to beat her down or anything, but she had to tell herself, I've got to get out of here because what I'm doing, I'm going to get in trouble for because she's going to tell her brother. I said, yeah, I'm not going to tell him nothing. You got to, you the one have to remember that you are married to him, that you are his woman. You are his wife. So let's
yes.
clear that up right now. And don't make me have to tell him because I'm not going to voluntarily tell him, but you need to make up your mind that you need to go somewhere else with this mess that you want to do. It's too messy. So you need to move on. And she did. She got her two children and moved on out because she was just at my house because I was being nice and keeping her under my wing to protect her and her children in my brother's place. But see how we get crazy? Now,
mm-hmm.
it says, come with his son and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness. That's what Jethro did, where he encamped at the mountain of Yahuwah. Okay? Now, that's nice. That's good. We get together where we are supposed to help each other. And help each other in what? In following Yahuwah. Okay? So, Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. All right. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. Okay, we've been out of Egypt for 3 months. The same day came they into the wilderness of what? Sinai. Okay, Mount Sinai. Oh, wow. Now we see again where it is. Mount Sinai was the wilderness for us then. I don't know if it's going to be that same area again exactly, but Yah knows where the wilderness is going to be. And at the moment, if you need to make a move, over to Africa, you may want to consider looking up where Mount Sinai is right now and get close to that if you want to. But see, we have to remember, Yah is going to take us where he wants us to be. We don't have to make a move. That's why he told us that he is going to come back for his people, no matter where they are in the four corners of the earth, you see. So that's what we have to keep in mind. And Exodus 19, verse 2, let's go right behind verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. So you see another combination there. We were in the desert, and Yah gave us food, and he gave us water. All Moses had to do was hit on the rock, and hey, the water will come down from the rock. Nice, beautiful, fresh spring water from the rock. See, the rocks will cry out. They will bring forth whatever Yah tells them to. And that is something that was unseen to us when we were in the wilderness. And so when we get to the wilderness again, let's remember these things, that if we don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. If we don't see it, taste it, feel it, see color in it, does not mean it's not there. Because Yah is going to provide for us what he knows that we need. Yes, indeed. That's going to be a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. We were in the desert where hardly anything grows. Some little shrubbery, you know. Now and then you might see some. But we were there. And he put us at the mountain area. You know what? Because that mountain, Mount Sinai, gave us shade during the day. You see. I don't care how far around we were the mountain, we had shade at different points of the day. So we weren't doing too bad. We didn't have a bunch of trees, but we had some shade from the mountain, from the rocks. The rocks shaded us there too. Now, I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 7. Let's page on over to there. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 38 is a good one. It tells us which the Most High Yah commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel, our foreparents, to offer their, what, oblations unto Yahuwah, the Most High himself, in the wilderness of Sinai. There we go again, Sinai wilderness. It keeps letting you know where you are, where you are, where you've been. You've been there, done that, but he told us there's nothing new under the sun. So he's going to do what he wants to do for us. We just have to go with the flow and stop the complaining, stop the nagging. Especially you, some of you men complaining that you don't have three or four wives. Stop the complaint.
That's right.
Because the Father said, obey the laws of the land that you're in. Okay, so the laws of this land, because he knew we were going to be slaves, the laws of this land say we're only permitted to have one wife. So there's nothing wrong with having one wife, okay? Just remember that. He doesn't say wherever you go, make sure you have three or four wives, five, 10 wives. He does not say that. He did not tell
That's
us
right.
that. He said to obey the laws of the land. Except for when they conflict with the law, the laws, the Ten Commandments of Yah, you see. So this is why he has made it possible towards the end of our lifetime in this space we live in America and other places. He is allowing us to decide to do the feast days, to honor his feast days that he put in, okay? All right, now, let's go to, before I say something else, let's go to Psalms chapter 78, verse 17. Psalms chapter 78, verse 17. Now, this goes along with what we're experiencing in today's time again. We're going to go to Psalm 78, verse 17. It says, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Ooh, y'all like, hold your head right. We provoked him? Of course we did. We're so stupid. We're just doing stupid stuff. We're on the stupid train. Walking around in stupidity. Just walking around with it wrapped around your head. Thinking about it. If you think about something stupid, you've done it. You see? Because so you're thinking, so it is. He don't want us thinking about doing stupid stuff. Just keep praying, ceaseless prayer, to keep yourself out of trouble. I know I need to a lot of times because, you know, I have some thoughts that are not of Yah. And you say to yourself, wow, I need to quit thinking about that kind of stuff. That's going to get me in trouble. So let's remember that. We provoke him. Okay, so in the mountains and in the deserts and stuff like that and doing battles and stuff like that, like one time somebody took something from the battle and took it home even though Yah had told them through the prophets, don't take anything home. Don't take anything with you. And what happened to them? Okay, the ground, Yah opened the ground up. Nobody else did. Yahusha wasn't there, but Yahuwah was there, and he said, oh, there they go again, provoking me. Open the ground up. He cracked that ground open, and that man and his family all fell into that. Even his animals, everything that belonged to that set of people was put into the ground, and then what happened? He closed it back up. So nobody's going to go down there and help you get out because you dug your own hole, live in it. Fall into it. Stay in it because you ain't getting out because Yah done locked you down. Squashed you like a fly. And so that's what we want to remember. Don't provoke Yah. Don't do it. Yahuwah is saying, I'll get you. I can get you too. I can destroy you too. I mean, it don't take much for me to do it. You ain't got to ask. Because if you did something wrong, watch yourself, watch your steps. Because we have had a minister that knew about what we are going into. He knew about everything. He knew about the name. He knew about who he was and who his people were. He knew that we were Hebrew Israelites. He knew all these things. And he was talking about doing all these things that make us Hebrew Israelites. But you know what? He knew also the name. He knew the name of the Father. And if you're not attempting to say the name of the Father in Old Hebrew, Ancient Hebrew, New Hebrew words, then you the one got a problem. And he had such a problem with that that Yah wouldn't let him stand in everybody's way. So he... took him out. He took his breath from him while he was walking. Okay?
Wow.
Walk it like you're talking. That's what you got to do. You can't be saying, acting like you don't know his name. You know everything else, so how did you miss knowing his name? You didn't miss it. Right. You just refused to say it. And people are refusing and provoking Yah. See, he provoked Yah because he knew it well enough to know the name. He knew everything else. And so he provoked Yah, and Yah provoked on down on him and just took him out, took his breath. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, chapter 78, verse 19, because we're still in 78. And it says, yea, they spake against Yahuwah. They said, can Yahuwah furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, gee, why are you asking these dumb questions? See, you're stupid again. Yes, he can provide a table of food for you in the wilderness. He will provide for you some kind of food. So I don't know why you're asking these questions, because he made everything so he can make up some food for you too. He can even make that table for you if he needs to give you a table. That is what Yah does. And so many people are asking these stupid questions. He gave us food in the desert. He gave us energy. You know what? Our clothes did not wear out in the desert. Our shoes did not wear out in the desert. If nobody was making the shoes or making the clothes, didn't have no way of doing that, growing cotton and making the clothes, whatever, then Yah made sure that it didn't wear out. You got to keep that in mind. That's how powerful he is. All power is his. Okay, let's stay in Psalm 78. Let's go down to verse 40. Let's go all the way down to verse 40. We're in Psalm 78. If you need to write that down for yourself. Psalm 78, verse 40. How oft, which means often, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Now, that's something to think about. It was more than once, saying to us many times, you see. Many times, some people got a little out of control. And guess what? Those people got taken out too. A lot of people got taken out when they asked for the meat, and they were eating the meat. And many of them choked to death on the meat because they were putting it in their mouth so fast because they were so thinking that they may never see another piece of meat. It just, that tripped him out. And so he was like, oh, eat yourself to death. That's you doing this, and I'm not going to stop you. So it's often that we have provoked him in the wilderness. So while everybody keeps thinking about the wilderness experience and preparing for the wilderness, we got to prepare on different levels for the wilderness.
Yep, right.
Food and water at home or in a tent, whatever we got to do. Then we got to prepare for the spiritual wilderness because so many of us are living in that spiritual wilderness right now. And we need to concentrate on taking care of ourselves, our family, and taking care of Yah in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. So we have him our power. Because Yahuwah is our power in the name of Yahushua. Yeah, he our power. And we have to hold on to that power. Let's go down to Psalm 78. We're still in 78. Verse 52. Let's hold on to that power. Psalm 78, verse 52. I'll be through shortly. It says, but make his own people to go forth like what? Sheep. And guided them in the wilderness like a flock. So we are going to be together, and we're just going to be following the who. Not to follow the leader, but we're going to be following Yah's servant, Yahushua, the Messiah. We're going to be following him. He's going to show us what to do and where to go. In the meantime, we have to be prepared for that wilderness. We have to be prepared to follow Yahushua. We have to be ready to be part of the flock. Because it's not going to be time to be playing around. No time for that. So make up your mind. When that leadership comes, it's going to be here. You're going to be looking at him saying, okay, I better hang in there with them or I get left behind. That is true. You can't get left behind. Now, Psalms 95, verse 8, is where we're going to go next. Then I have two more verses after that, and I'll be through myself with this portion because you got to understand what Elder Elijah is going to be talking about.
Because
it's real. It's real. Psalms 95, verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Okay? Harden not your heart. That's your mind. Harden not your thoughts. Harden not what you're thinking about. harden not your mind. Your brain thinks. Okay? Harden not your heart as in the provocation. Don't provoke him. Don't do it as in the day of our temptation. So there's going to be some temptation to say, start screaming out that you want some roast beef and some chickens and some fish and some whatnot and what this and what that. You are going to just pray for Yah to give you food to eat. And whatever he gives you, accept it as your blessing. It will keep you alive. Okay? And you know, us Hebrews, we'll take some food, a piece of bread, and turn it into something else. Stir it up.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know how we do it. We'll put a little seasoning salt on this bread. If we got some seasoning salt with us, you know, we can do that.
That's right.
But harden not your heart, because he's giving you something that you can do something with it. It's because he knows us. Oh, they can take this piece of bread and cook it up and make it taste good. Or just, if they just break it into pieces, don't have time to cook, don't have no firewood, just cook it in your hands. Just hold it in your hands so it warms up, whatnot, and just eat it and stop complaining. Okay, let's go to Psalms 102, chapters 102, verse 6. Psalms 102, verse 6. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. You see, he's saying, I'm out there with you. I'm going to be right there. I'm out there with you in the wilderness, like a pelican, like an owl. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. I'm hanging around you. You see, that's what he's talking about, that he's going to be with us in the desert, no matter what else is going on.
Yes.
And let's go a little further to Psalms chapter 106. Psalms chapter 106, verse 9. Let's go down to verse 9 there. Psalms 106, chapter, verse 9. And this is my last one. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Now, that tells you right there that he did it. Yahuwah did it. He told the sea to part open.
Yes.
And he made the land dry. It wasn't wet when we were walking across it. We could see the water on each side, and we could see big whales and stuff through the water. But it was not falling on us, and the ground was wet, so we could roll our little carts across there, walk across it, whatever we need to do to get to the other side. He made it dry so we could do that. And
hallelujah.
Through the wilderness, that's right. Even children could walk across there. And when we got to the other side, we may have had to go up a little from down at the bottom of the sea. We may have had to climb on some rocks or something, some of us, but he made it so. He did that himself. The Father did that himself. He took care of us. You see, the Messiah wasn't there at that point, but the Father himself did that. And that's how he took us through the wilderness, into the wilderness, across some wilderness. Okay, that Red Sea was wilderness to us.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't used
That's
to
right.
walking across something like that. You know, get real, people. Get real. Watch and
That's
see
right.
what he will do for you. And so many of us have seen all the things he did for us in Egypt before we left there. So we knew what kind of power Yah was. But yet, we get into the wilderness, and it doesn't take us long to start whining and complaining. And you know what?
There you go.
I'm going to tell you what happened. I know some of y'all are just so stupid that you're sitting there saying, well, what happened to this? Look, when some of us that are really hanging with y'all see you doing stupid stuff, and we just look at each other like, let's get away from that one. Let's get away from those people. Us that believe the same way, just like now, us that believe basically the same thing, we believe in Yah, for real. Let's go over here to this side of the tribe, right? Because we see somebody is stupid. Then some of us were part of the stupid crowd because we were stupid. And so we were over there hanging out with them. Then, yeah, brother, yeah. We need to go back to Egypt because we don't have this, that, and the other here. We don't have the kind of food we was eating over there. Guess what? Family, you need to know. Most of us were not eating good in Egypt. We were slaves. We were pitiful. If we got
That's
something
right.
to eat, it was crumbs. It wasn't necessarily
That's right.
good food. So don't think that that was a luxury that we left behind. But so many of us was complaining and whining, well, we need to go back because at least we had some chicken to eat. At least we had some goat meat to eat. You know, all this kind of stuff. Ooh, that lamb was good that we left behind. It's left behind for a reason.
That's right.
And Yah knows the reason. He knew that those, a lot of those animals that we wanted to eat were not going to be healthy going across the desert into the wilderness, through the wilderness, and things of that nature. He already knew that. He spared them.
Hallelujah.
You see. But y'all that are complaining in your mind, that's why you need to get that out of your head. Stop going into that mode because it won't do you any good. It's going to get you taken out. Now, it's
Hallelujah.
Going to be in with some of us because it's going to be a very few because so
yeah.
many of us can't stop that complaining. So many of us can't stop going in directions that we're not supposed to go in. That's why before you make a move, before you do anything like that, pray to Yah, and he will show you what you should do. He will show you how to get there and check it out, let people check you out, and you check them out and see if it's going to be a good fit, or he's going to leave you at home where he's going to protect you right there. He's going to protect you right at home himself.
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking you got to do something, okay? That's all I got to say. So that's my part for the evening. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Elder Eliah, and told our family for listening.
Hallelujah. Thanks for those words, Ima.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We appreciate that. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. We're in part three of this final episode of this wilderness series, right? Which included, for those of you who missed last week, which included the dream that Yahuwah gave me, which has to do with the wilderness, or you could say the second Exodus. Now, if you want to hear that dream in its entirety, go to our archive and listen to last week's broadcast. Listen to last Tuesday's broadcast, which was part two of this series, where we discussed spiritual immunity. That was the subtitle, spiritual immunity. Listen to that, and you'll be able to hear the dream that Yahuwah gave me concerning the wilderness experience, our upcoming wilderness experience. You don't want to miss that episode. Please go back in your spare time and listen to part two. You will be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So
Hallelujah.
What is this series, part three, all about? Well, if you don't know it, we're talking about the remnant. Yahuwah's remnant, or Yah's elect, as some say. Scripture says, hallelujah, Matthew 24. And that's going to be the theme throughout the rest of the night's message. Yahuwah's remnant, hallelujah. Now, I said I'm going to do some speed reading. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to go into Judges. I just want to do a quick comparison. After that, I'm going to play a couple of short clips just to illustrate where we were. Now, I'm talking about today's time. I'm not talking about way back in our foreparents. I'm talking about today's time, where we were, our mindset, first part is pandemic, and to where we are today. You see how much things change. It's going to be a common factor, a common denominator. It's going to be called fear. And we're going to see how fear just weaves its way in and wreaks havoc on our people. That's why the Bible says the fearful and unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. You'll see why, because they'll fall for anything. If the heat gets turned up enough, the fearful will turn cold. They'll say, oh, I love you, ooh, I love you. Let the heat get turned up. Oh, I hate it. You know, I don't want to finish that sentence, you know. But that's where the fearful and unbelieving, that's why do you think Yahuwah's word said he's going to deal with them so severely? Have their part in a lake just for being fearful? Well, their heart is not only fearful, but what is the root of that fear? Unbelief. They'll speak with their mouth, flatter the Most High with their mouth, but their hearts are far from it. So do a comparison in Gideon's time. You're going to see how a lot of them started off, and then how a lot of them ended up. And it's going to be the same factor, that fear. Okay, I'm going to read Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read straight through. Please try to stay with me and listen. King James Version. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh. You know, we got all these Morehs out here in Hebrew land. In the valley, and Yahuwah said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are, listen, too many. Now, just to give you a little backdrop, the enemy was already Gideon's army, his little ragtag group. But Yahuwah says, that's still too many. He said, Gideon, people with you are still too many. Even though you're already outnumbered, vastly outnumbered, he said, the people that you're about to, you've assembled, that's still too many. He said, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. He said, lest Israel, you know, my people who call by my name, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And that's pretty much what they would have did. Yahuwah knows his people.
He knows.
He knows them well. He says, now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people. Listen, he's about to give them an out, and they're going to be exposed. The one that's going to take this out that Yahuwah's going to offer them for what was really in their heart. He said, go and tell the people, whisper this in their ears, saying, whosoever, he's whispering, say to them, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. In other words, he's saying, tell all the cowards, get in, give them, I know you're vastly outnumbered right now, but the people who are with you, it's still too many, because you got a bunch of feeble-minded cowards. Remember the scripture says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from you. Double-minded, feeble-minded people. Yah knew their heart. He said it was too many. He said, you can't have an army, over 50% of them are full of cowards. He said, give them a chance, Gideon. Tell them, whosoever's afraid and fearful, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And listen, Gideon gave them the message, let's look what happened. You would think they would say, no, I'm going to stand with you. This is our land. This is our heritage at stake. No, I'm going to stand and fight with you. You know, just because he said, hey, everybody who's scared, y'all can leave right now and go back home with your wives and children. You would think it's going to be some strong men that would stand, but listen to their response. Here it is. And there returned of the people 22,000 cowards ran back. They were just waiting for a chance. You see that? Now I'm going to make a comparison. So don't look down on them yet, because I'm going to compare this with our people in the early during this pandemic. All those who say, "Oh, I don't read that. That's of the devil. That vax, that jab, I ain't taking it. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they try to. I'm ready for them. I'm not taking that mess." Okay. Y'all's gonna let the messengers whisper in your ear, too, and let's see what your response is and was. Okay, it says so 22,000 fled, ran away, like tucked their tail between their legs and ran away, and there remained only 10,000. You think that's too many? Listen, no. Here we go. And Yahuwah said unto Gideon, the people are yet still too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them. He's going to test them. I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee. The same shall not go. So he brought them down unto the water, and Yahuwah said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth up the water with his tongue, as a dog do it, as a dog lappeth the water, by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. Okay, so only three lapped water, you know, like the dog. It says, and Yahuwah said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you. Remember, he already got rid of 22,000. He had 10,000 remaining. Now he only has 300. So he lost 9,700. I think I'm doing the math right. Wow. So 9 and 22. That's almost 29,000 people. I mean, what am I talking about? 9 and 22, that's almost about 31,000 people. That's a lot of people that Gideon lost, a lot of cowards that was in the land, a lot of people talking big and bad up at the front. But when the heat came, when they saw what they were about to face, no, tucked their tail between their legs and got to stepping. What Yahuwah said, he says, by the 300 that lap will I save you. He's going to deliver the land just by those 300. And deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Let all the other cowards go. Now we could go real fast. So the people took victuals. They got their food in their hand and their trumpet. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. That's the enemy. Okay, and it came to pass the same night that Yahuwah said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. So Yahuwah had worked it out. I'm going to take the brave. I'm going to take the obedient. I'm going to take those who not only hear my voice, not only who know my standard and my laws, but those who adhere to my standard and my laws. Okay? He says, that's the people I'm going to, who's going to be my battle axe with, who's going to be my battle axe. Hallelujah. It says, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. He's even giving them, he's helping them. So he's saying, even if this 300, you know, look at that as the remnant. He said, that's what I'm going to deliver. That's what I'm going to win the battle with, this 300. Those other 31,000 cowards, we don't need them. But he's saying, if some of you are afraid, look, here's what I'm going to strengthen your hand. I'm going to let you go down and spy on them if you want to, if you so choose to do it, and you can hear what they're saying. And when you hear them, you will know that you'll be strengthened. You will know that you will win the battle. He says, then, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Pharaoh, his servant. So Gideon wanted to hear it. He might have had a little remnant of fear. He wasn't a coward, but, you know, we all have a little apprehension. So he went down with his servant and to the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitudes. So they were vastly. They were vastly outnumbered to start with. Now they're super. Then went he down unto Pharaoh, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along like grasshoppers for multitudes. And their camels were without number. Even had way more camels than Gideon had his army. Past the sand of the sea for multitudes. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. See, so he's hearing them. So this is what Yah says he's going to strengthen their hand. I'm going to let you hear what they're saying, and your hand's going to be strengthened. So this is what they heard. There was a man there that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell. And overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For unto his hand hath Yahuwah delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for Yahuwah hath delivered unto our hands the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hands with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with thee, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of Yahuwah and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but nearly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet and break the pitchers that were in their hands. So he's basically fulfilling the dream. That's how Gideon's hand was strengthened. Yahuwah told him to go down and listen, and when you hear what they're saying, your hand is going to be strengthened. And that's what gave Gideon this boldness. He said, and the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of Yahuwah and of Gideon, and two more verses, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts, listen, all the hosts, this is the enemies, all the hosts ran. See, they put their tail between their legs and ran. All the hosts ran and cried and fled. You see? Gideon and his men didn't even have to do any work because Yahuwah had already put fear in their hearts. They were already defeated before he got there. And it says, last verse here, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and Yahuwah set every man's sword against his fellow. Gideon's army didn't even have to raise a sword in this battle here. They were so fearful and discombobulated that they turned on each other. Hallelujah. So it said, Yahuwah set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. So if you were just up in a helicopter just looking at this, you would think the whole camp has gone mad, because you would see people on the same team, same army, grabbing their sword and ramming through, stabbing their other partners right through the chest, right through the heart. All of them. Throughout the whole host, it says. And the host fled to Bet-Shitta and Zerarath, and to the border of Abu Nahalah unto Tabah. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. So the few who got away, they're being hotly pursued by Gideon and his boys. So what's the analogy I said I was going to make? Okay, you saw how Gideon almost had 32,000 men to start with. And none of them, you know, they were all posturing, I'm sure. None of them trying to look, act like they were weak. All of them act like they were strong. But when he gave them an out, the first 22,000 just took off. Then he trimmed it some more, brought it down to 300. That's almost 31,000 men fled. Almost, pretty much you could say, over 90%. Look what happened during the first part of this pandemic. You heard all of our people making a big stand, saying they're not taking it, they're not taking it, this is not of the Most High. Church people saying this is not of God. Da, 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 da. They were standing against it. I know it. I heard it. I don't try to care what the media was trying to say. Matter of fact, even the media knew it, and the media was getting pissed off because the media was trying to brainwash our people. Our people was making a stand. I was proud. But boy, did they turn. When the heat started getting turned up and they were listening to that propaganda 24/7, 365, it started getting to them. See, the ones that had a fearful and unbelieving heart, Yah was testing them. He put them to the test. And guess what? Most of them start failing. I'm not saying all of them. A lot of them start change their tune. They change their tune. Now, I'm going to have two analogies here. I want to play two different clips, real short clips, 2 minutes each, and you're going to see how things were going. To back up my analogy, what I just put forth, how so-called black people were holding strong, or at least talking a good talk. And they probably wouldn't walk in the walk, but they was talking a good talk to start with. But then when that fear, what's the scripture say? Men's hearts failing them because of fear. Look how strong they were being at the start of it. And the powers that be were getting pissed off about it. And they said, we're going to have to do something about this. We're going to have to get some of our good old house Negro boys, the ones we paid off, the ones who sold their souls. And, you know, we're paying Hollywood to shoot a basketball. And all of them that they're making money in Babylon, you know, they're our puppet. We're their puppet masters. We gotta crack the whip on them, because they gotta get their people in line. But look how strong seemed like we were at the start compared to what we were after. I'm queuing this up now. So give me about 10 seconds and we will have it queued up. Okay, here we go.
All right.
White Americans are getting COVID vaccines at significantly higher rates than black Americans. That's according to new analysis from Kaiser Health. Take Mississippi, for example. More than 3% of white people across the state got a shot in the arm, but just 1.3% of black people. Same story in Florida, North Carolina, Nebraska, and Indiana. Every state that gives us data broken down by race, there's a dramatic disparity. And nowhere is it more stark than in Pennsylvania. There, data shows white people are vaccinated at a rate 4 times higher than that of black people, with one group of doctors working to bridge that gap. Here's NBC's Priscilla Thompson.
Well, Shep, those numbers are very concerning, particularly for the doctors who are on the ground doing this work. It's why the Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium stood up this clinic to get those shots into the arms of Black folks. They've already vaccinated hundreds of people at this site today, and more than 16,000 people have registered requesting an appointment from this organization. And Dr. Ayla Stanford, who founded this program, says that she needs more support. Take a listen.
I need more vaccines. I need more personnel.
It's a Black doc.
And I need sustainable financial support. Because right now, everything we're doing is based on my bank account. Right now, we're the answer for every need in the community. Every need, we're the answer. Latinx community, it's us. Homeless, it's us. Black is us.
And the Biden administration has promised 100 million shots in the first 100 days, and they have promised to distribute those in a way that is equitable. And as for Dr. Stanford, she says that she is hopeful and optimistic about what the administration will be able to do, but that she'll believe it when she sees it.
Shepard Smith here. Thanks for watching CNBC.
Okay. All right. So, now, you say, what, Blacks were doing good. They were resisting. Whites were, in some states, four times the percentage-wise, four times they were getting the vax compared to what Blacks were getting the vax. And that was a good thing. That was a very good thing. But something happened along the way. Something happened along the way, and we're about to see what happened. Queuing up our last video here, and you're going to see. They say, we got to get our boys. We're not paying them for nothing. Let's get our most loyal slave subjects out. Let's dust them off, get them a good spanking, and tell them to get to work. I'm telling you, these devils, I mean, these Negroes got to work. Listen here. Here we go.
Masters joined the Miami-Dade County.
Be about 5 seconds. All right, here we go.
More and more people have become eligible to get COVID-19 vaccines. The mayor of Miami-Dade County joined forces today with local Black clergy to urge their congregations to have faith and not skip getting the shot.
Black preachers.
Laren Livingston is live right now with more on that message. I heard loud and clear today, right, Laren?
Hello.
Amen. Sister Christy, there was a parking lot praise that went forth today here outside of this vaccination site with a very pointed pandemic message.
I say, God is good.
This podium becoming more of a pulpit.
I am tired of this pandemic. I don't want it to develop anymore. I want it to decline to no more.
A Baptist preacher is going to preach, this time sharing the gospel of vaccination.
God has used scientists to come up with a preventive measure to finally get us through this pandemic.
These Black pastors joined the Miami-Dade County mayor, commissioners, and other community leaders promoting public health, fittingly sanitizing that podium between speakers, encouraging people to get their shots.
Some people don't want to take the vaccine. Not good sense.
This vaccine is safe, and this is our way out. And that's not just for the Black community, but that's for every community.
Today, I am filled with hope. I am filled with joy.
It had all of the feelings of a tent revival, tent included. The group moved inside as two of those pastors practiced what they've been preaching, rolling up their sleeves to get their second doses of the Pfizer vaccine.
If we don't actually find a way to get a vast majority of this community vaccinated, it's going to be very difficult to have the economy that we had before. It's going to be very difficult to have the spiritual life that we had before. It's going to be very difficult to have the communal life that we had before.
This is our way out. This is our way up. And by the way, for the record, I'm not talking cheap because I've already been vaccinated.
All we were missing was the benediction, maybe even a little communion as we head into the Easter weekend. In the meantime, the mayor, you heard from her there, she says that it looks like vaccine hesitancy is declining, specifically within the black community. She cited an example from Jackson Memorial Hospital that has vaccinated about 19% of the people who've been vaccinated there are black. She says the county population of black folks is 17%, so that's some promising news on that front. In the meantime, there are teams going around the county making sure folks in underserved communities know where they can get vaccinated, have information about vaccinations and vaccination sites. They're also helping folks get registered. We're live here in Northwest Miami-Dade, Larry Livingston, Local 10 News.
Well, there you have it. Gideon's Army started real bold and strong. When the heat turned up, where did the 90% go? They tucked their tail between their legs, ran off like some chickens. Okay, so what happened, that first clip we saw where, oh, the powers that be were perplexed, saying, wait a minute, these Negroes aren't, maybe we should have put some fried chicken on the bait or something. They probably tried that. They tried everything else. They put marijuana on the bait in New York. They give kids ice cream. They gave some employers $500 bonuses. They've tried everything. They gave some people some passes to Six Flags or amusement park. I mean, they tried everything. I'm sure they gave out some Popeyes gift certificates. I believe it. I wouldn't doubt it. So what happened? You saw Gideon's Army. What happened to all the strong ones in Gideon's Army? Well, their hearts wasn't right. That's why we started this whole series talking about repentance. Repentance means dealing with the heart, not the mouth. The mouth can run. You can run off at the mouth all night. You know, people go talk the talk. There ain't too many walking the walk. Scripture even says the harvest is plentiful, but the people willing to go out there and get the work done are few. See, everybody wants to reap in the reward. Nobody wants to put in the work. Everybody talks a bold game at the beginning of the starting line before the gun goes off. But when you're about to go into battle, actual battle, and if you give them a legitimate excuse, most of them are going to do just like Gideon's Army. They're going to hightail it out of there. So our people were talking a good talk to start with. They even had free media worried. They have to go back into the war room and re-strategize, you know, brainstorm. Get these Negroes out of here, you know. Take their Section 8 away from them. Something. We got to do something. Well, they realized their ace in the hole was these big, fat, black pastors. The ones who were so fat they could barely squeeze out from under their steering wheel in their Cadillac. New Cadillac every year thing they used to drive. They probably Mercedes S theories or whatever. Now they're driving. But you heard them. This guy, they say they're preaching a new gospel. They're preaching the gospel of vaccine. You heard the news clip. The gospel of vaccine. And this big greasy looking, talking about he believe in the science. I've heard a lot of the atheists on the television saying the same thing. Now, we've mentioned this a lot of times on this, on our broadcast. You believe it because they say it's science. There's something still in the Constitution. Go read it. This is science that says our people, we're not even fully human being, that we're three-fifths of a human being. This wasn't a comic book. This wasn't out of a Marvel comic. This was science. Everybody's talking about Tuskegee. That was science, too. But there's so many things that they've done experimenting on our people
to our people's detriment, working on women, our women's reproductive system and everything without anesthesia. Say we didn't even feel pain. Their science said that we didn't feel pain. We were animals. We didn't have pain receptors. You know, the neurons from our brains, it didn't detect pain. So you could just grab a javelin and just run us through. We wouldn't feel it. That's science. And these are the same science these fat cats in their suits saying they believe in. Same ones that are saying we got to get back to the economy, a spiritual economy. Because you know what you mean by spiritual economy? You got to get back, let the church get filled up, pay them tithes. That's what they're concerned about. And they're getting heat from their white puppet masters, putting the heat to their butt, saying, you know, if y'all don't really get this thing, if y'all don't get this thing settled, we're gonna hit you where it hurts. We're going to take away that 501c3. Your butt's going to start paying taxes like the rest of these slaves out here. Oh no, Master, hold on. I'll whip them in the shower. I'll get them together. Master, just give me a few days. Give me two more Sundays. I'll get it together. They went to work. TD Jakes, the Dollars, every little corner. You know, the black community got five churches on every block. Oh, they went. And look, one of the churches says it was turned to a vaccine center. Way more than once. A lot of churches turned. We don't only use our church to talk to promote the vaccine. We turn our church into a vaccine hub. Church members and neighborhood, anybody could come. Illegal aliens could come in. Anybody could come get vaccinated here. We're turning this thing around. How did I do, Master? And you saw the numbers going up. You heard that towards the end of the second clip. Oh, the numbers going up. Now 17%. Whites, 19%. We're pretty much the same as whites now. First was 4-1, the ratio. That's why only a remnant, is going to make it. I'm going to read another scripture. We're out of time, so I'm going to read one more scripture concerning this. So don't lose heart, Israel, just because you see the fearful and unbelieving turning coat, running the other way. It happened back in Gideon's time. It's happening here too. Romans 9. 27:28, and paraphrasing this King James Version, it says, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, that means you can't even number, it's going to be so many of them. Though their numbers be so large, only a remnant, small few. It says, for Yahuwah will finish the work. He's about to close this whole thing out. For Yahuwah will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work, in other words, a quick work, will the Most High make upon the earth. The Amplified Version say he's going to close this account out with man. And he's going to shorten the time. That's why we're in the quickening. Matthew 24 said, if he didn't shorten, quicken the times up, look how fast the days are going. Zip, 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 zip. Going so fast. He had to shorten the time. And the no flesh, even the elect wouldn't make it. He shortened the time. If you don't know a day is so much shorter nowadays than it was 5 years ago or 3 years ago, then your sense of awareness must be short-circuited. The days are going like this. Pow, 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 pow. Wake up at 8. Sneeze and it's 12. Knees again, and it's 4. Then in standard time, as we are now, 30 more minutes, it's almost dark outside. I mean, the days are going so fast. There's nothing we can do about it. Let your Yahuwah's work be done. So we're going to wrap this up, cut it off here. We were preparing for the wilderness. This was the final episode in this three-part series, started with repentance. And then we talked about spiritual immunity, and go back and hear the dream that you gave me last week's broadcast. spiritual immunity. Everybody talking about physical immunity, which is good, which is good. I believe in it. Try to live right. Try to eat right, exercise, sleep right. Nothing wrong with immune system, but you got to build up your spiritual immunity. I mean, if you really want to make the trip, you want to survive the wilderness, you got to build up your spiritual immunity. But now we're being realistic on this. We're being realistic on this one. Only a remnant. Only a remnant is going to make it in. So think about that, Israel. Don't let this go over your head. If this message convicted you, turn to the Most High in your time, in your prayer closet, and let his word speak to you. Out of 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people, the other way you could get this right, you don't have to end up like Gideon's army. You don't have to end up as one of the victims of these fat demons at these churches who's leading their people like the Pied Piper leading them right into the lake. You don't have to end up like them. Let Yahuwah's word speak to you and take heed. Take him at his word. He said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their iniquities. You can't be lawless. All the law's done away with. No. If all the law's done away with, iniquities means lawless. He wouldn't have nothing to forgive you of. He said, I will forgive their iniquities, their lawlessness. Can't be lawless without a law. I will forgive their foolishness, their lawlessness, and I'll heal their land. Get it right, Israel. Get it right. Hallelujah. Come on up, Emo. I'm done.
Okay. Hallelujah. Todah-yah, Elder. Beautiful, beautiful information that you have given the people. We need to receive it as it was given in truth. And tonight I'm going to play Fly Away, and let's see if we can do that. Shalom. Here we go.
Shalom, Pam.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, family.
Shalom. And good night, Ima. And good night, family. Y'all willing, we'll see you next week.
All right. Shalom, family. Time to go now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.